show, as you see in the lineup, you got Sulaiman and Charmaine representing the Malays. You got Gajan Disna and Kiran representing the Indians.
Yeah.
And Brian Tan, accountant. That's right. I'm Chinese, but I'm the type that cannot speak Chinese one. And here in Malaysia, we've got a name for that, right? What do we call these people? Well, it's called rich people.
Welcome, Notepad with me, Ibrahim Sani. So for those who have been following my coverage on one of the world's most scandalous financial heists in history, 1MDB has been a core and central issue for the past few months. Here on Awani, however, we want to find the funny amidst all this mess. There are a group of professionals who remain committed to find the funny through this saga and through their work, a live stand-up comedy show called 1MCB, or the One Malaysia Comedians Bureau. Joining me is Sulaiman Azmil, Kiran Bala, and Kiran Bala Devan and Gajan Nad. Guys, thanks very much for coming over. The reason why I'm getting you guys over is because I want to really talk about 1MCB and find out what was the motivation, the inspiration of you doing this in the first place.
Okay, it's good. I'm happy you asked us here for the comedy. I was afraid that you're going to ask us to discuss sovereign funds here.
So no, we can do that as well.
We're not exactly prepared.
We've performed individually for many years. And then it came to mind about what if we came together as a group? Of course, with stand-up comedy, we still perform individually on stage. But come together as a group and showcase a variety of performers, each with our own distinctive comedy stylings. So I had an initial discussion with Kiran, actually, and we went about thinking, okay, let's bring together a group of five or six comics, and that's the genesis, as it were, of 1MCB.
But the subject matter is very interesting because, you know, people find it hilarious to go for or to go after, you know, race, to go after, you know, Malaysia, Singapore kind of comic. But 1MDB, which is a rather serious issue, how did that, you know, manifest itself after bringing, you know, a combination of these guys over? Maybe Gajan?
Yeah, I guess it's more of like a pun thing. And if you look at the name 1MCB, it's not only related to 1MDB, it's also related to a typical Malaysian bad word. So that got a lot of attention, and the crowd loves it because Malaysians, we love all these puns and all this wordplay and all that. So it's, the crowd do love it. Yeah.
All right. Of course, one of the things that is always highlighted is on the display of wealth in 1MDB. Was that an easy point of material for your work for this particular show?
I think so. Especially for us doing this show, being comedians in Malaysia, wealth is something that not a lot of us have. So having a show based around something, you know, that involves that much of money, I think it gives us even more incentive to make fun of it, because nobody likes all these people with that much of money. No
one
does.
Of course.
Like, we do tackle, you know, race, culture, stuff happening in Malaysia and all that, but also because it's more of a chicken and egg thing. I don't know which one came first, but we've always liked talking about what was going on in the news, and the 1MDB thing was and still is a big thing. So when we, you know, put the show together, we thought, okay, let's do all those jokes that we've been telling in clubs. Let's do it as a group and talk about these type of issues happening in Malaysia and try to, like, you know, laugh about it, because after a while, it just gets depressing, you know what I mean?
Yeah, of course. It always gets depressing, you know, however much I like this job, reading the news, you know, going through all these conversations with all the panelists that we have. It's really depressing. But that's the point, right? When the opening clip just now, we're talking about a new Malaysia, there's a new environment into how we approach things, perhaps a little bit more openness. But already we see a lot of skepticism. We know that the month of May is just around the corner, which means it's been close to 1 year. Do you guys feel that Malaysia's humour is actually going away, or is it actually being embraced?
I actually think that, I mean, people talk about before GE14 and after GE14. If you ask me personally, I don't think I was particularly affected by it. I don't think we would have done stuff back before GE14 or perhaps the other way around. I don't think we would have thought about not doing something simply because it was under a particular government. And it's not as though we could speculate that after G14 what was going to happen.
Yeah.
Ultimately, I think for each of us, it's a question of... we each have our own boundaries. I mean, there's no like standard things beyond which you won't tackle. But at the same time, I believe as comics, we have a responsibility on stage. We can't just say, because we're on stage, we're doing comedy, we can just say anything and everything. So it's a question of being clever about what it is that you say.
And do you think that mainstream population is ready for comedy, or we're still going to talk about things in clubs or in closed spaces where it's a little bit more controlled? When do you think we can see, you know, a Netflix version of, say, a comedy for, you know, featuring a Malaysian comic like such as yourself? Do you think Malaysia is ready for such, you know, conversation?
Well, on Netflix, we've already got two Malaysian performers,
yeah.
Harith Iskandar and Kavin J. And we're certainly hoping that then provides a catalyst for the other comics and a potential platform. I mean, those two guys have really started the ball rolling, and hopefully we'll get to see other Malaysian comics performing at that level, having their own one-hour Netflix specials.
There's a lot more than the three of you. Are all of them professionals? Do they have day jobs, or do they do this full-time? Some of you guys are doing this full-time.
All of us are professionals. The only one who has a day job is him. So, yes. So he's the wealthy one. The rest are all B40 income group.
Very true.
But you don't think this can be sustainable? You can hustle kind of thing?
Can. I mean, that's the whole thing about being in any entertainment industry in Malaysia as well. You have to hustle. You have to find your opportunities. If you cannot find them, you have to make your opportunities. It's just... It's always an uphill thing in Malaysia. And only because, to come back to your point about whether Malaysians are ready or not, I think they are. They definitely are. Like, I've been doing this, 7 years? Sulaiman, seven also. And all of us, I think we've been doing this 6-7 years. And like, what we've noticed in that 6-7 years is people keep coming back to the shows. More people want comedy. It's just that if you're talking about whether Malaysia is ready, it's not that they're not ready for comedy. I think a lot of them don't know that you can make jokes about these things. So a lot of them, when they come to the shows, they come and they're like, I didn't know that you can joke about, you know, the government or the politics or culture or anything else. And they go, yeah, of course you can, because what's the point of not laughing at things when they're funny?
That's the thing, right? Finding the funny. We'll take a short break, but before we roll that montage, I want to play a little bit of clip. We'll come back after that.
You know, there's that song that goes, love is a man's blind thing.
Thank you. Someone who appreciates good music. Because we have to spend a lot of money on many things just because of love. Now, for all of you young people here, I would suggest before you fall in love, go get yourself a BTBT loan.
Notepad with me, Ibrahim Sani. Today we are taking lighter things towards the show, and of course what I mean by that is the comic relief show or the stand-up comedy 1MCB. Joining me, Sulaiman Azmil, Kiran Baladevan, and of course Gajan Nad. Gajan, you were practically quiet just now. I want to tease a little bit more. That was just now a little bit of your work. You know, like I said, race and religion tends to be the kind of, you know, tickling point for many societies. How's it like being a person with mixed heritage and being a comic? Is it easy to draw inspiration from that?
Yeah, so for me, I And a lot of people, whenever they hear a joke with racial content, they straight away categorize it under, oh, it's a racist joke. But to me, no, I actually tag them under diversity jokes, you know? You can look at the same thing, but from different angle. Right? Someone can look at a knife and say you're a murderer. Someone can just say, no, he's just cutting fruits in the kitchen. So I always tell people, you know, look from the positive angle. To me, I think a racist joke is a joke that doesn't work and someone makes fun of a certain race throughout his entire set and it doesn't work and he's intentionally wants to bring down that race, then you can feel it. But if you're like just making fun of different races, you know, accepting different races' weakness, making fun of it, I think that's actually diversity. Because in every comedy show, we look at the audience, we've got different genders, different age groups, different nationality, and they're all laughing together. That's unity.
Yeah. And of course, you want to draw from that, right? You get the energy from the room.
Yeah.
As the room gets more energized, you're actually becoming a little bit more energetic and becoming more funny.
Absolutely.
Well, actually, we like to think that primarily we want to entertain. Certainly when we go on stage, then that is what we have in mind. I don't think we necessarily have it up here that, okay, there's a message that I want to give
like,
to the audience.
Yeah.
No, I don't think we would necessarily have that uppermost in our mind. I think uppermost, we're thinking, let's find humour. Or like we think about something and we see there's humour in there and then we then develop it and craft it into bits, which then becomes a set, and then we perform. And you're right, there's nothing like laughter and cheers from the audience that then gives you that energy. It's there's so much interaction in that sense. More energy from the audience, more energy from the performer. And it leads to a brilliant night. There have been some nights which are absolutely brilliant. I've had the privilege of enjoying such nights, but I've also had those situations when sometimes you're performing in front of two persons.
Quiet. Oh, really?
You
must have heard.
I've all done that.
Like, from the beginning, like, when we started, you will get those times where you only perform to 2-3, like, you... We've done many shows where the number of comics who are performing that night outnumber the people in the audience.
Yes.
But, and usually they say, you know what, if that's the case, don't do the show. We're like, no, we still do it anyway.
Yes. No way!
You still do it anyway.
Because
they're paying customers.
Correct.
So, you know what?
Passion.
If two people came there to watch us perform, like, I'm going to tell two people jokes. And look, and I think for a lot of Malaysian comedians, if you can make those two people laugh for that 2 hours, I think your job's done that day.
Wow.
I mean, the show must go on. I think that that concept in showbiz applies across the board. Certainly applies to us.
Yeah. How did you guys get into this particular line of business? It's particularly very tough, at least in a country where there's humour for other people, but particularly difficult for Malaysians to consume. You know, we can easily laugh at the late night show guys and all that. But, you know, when you look at Malaysian comics, you look at Malaysian comedy, it's always this problem of... you know, you're going to offend somebody somewhere, right?
Right. And, like, because of that, I think that's what attracted all of us to go and do stand-up anyway, because we all grew up on those same, those older stand-up comics and those talk show hosts, and they influenced a lot of us. And when Malia started having these rooms where we could go and do stand-up comedy, we went there and we're like, you know what, we can just say what we want to say. And tell the jokes we want to tell without fear of anything. Like, I personally believe that if you are in any any entertainment industry or media, anything, you have to be fearless. Like, you can't censor yourself. You know, even though people are saying, oh, you know, you might offend someone, I'm like, okay, let them be offended. I'm still telling the truth. So if you want, you can be offended, but you can't say I'm wrong.
But isn't comedy, you know, an exaggeration of the truth? You take something and then you exaggerate it. But that exaggeration is where the problem lies. I mean, like, people find it, you know... For instance, you might, you know, make a joke about people having handbags and then you go with the 1MDB issue where you actually get the handbags out there. But then people are arguing, no, you know, actually this is a legal case. We shouldn't be making fun of this. You know, there's always this...
But why not, though? See, that's the question we always ask. Why not? Why can't you make fun of something? Yeah, sure, it's a legal case. But what we hope and we try to tell the audience who come for comedy shows is that it's okay to separate yourself from the actual issue and having fun. You know what I mean? Like, you can come to the show and we can talk about stuff that you see in the news and maybe serious stuff that we do make jokes about, but... Humans are not just one thing, you know.
Absolutely.
We can have multiple opinions. And like what we want, what we would like is for people to know that, hey, it's okay for you to like sit back and laugh at something. It's fine, you know. It's like if you laugh at something that's serious, the world's probably not going to end, you know, tomorrow.
Yeah.
It's fine.
And do you guys agree with him? Or is that something that you guys carry forward, that kind of, you know, nature to entertain?
Yeah, generally I agree. Actually, just now about you saying that, oh, will Malaysians be offended? Actually, Malaysians are actually quite open in terms of jokes, because a lot of international comics, when they come to Malaysia, they are actually very surprised that local comics go up on stage, do racial jokes and get a big laugh. Because if you do it overseas people, they are very, because they have this
political correctness
on racial stuff.
No way.
So yeah. So actually, Malaysians are actually very open. I think the issue is just more on marketing, because people don't know comedy exists in Malaysia.
Okay. I think the Malaysian nature is like we are all very honest people. We are honest about our feelings, our emotions. Also, the only thing Malaysians like don't do very often is convey that honesty properly. So when they come and watch us do stand up, it's like the jokes that we're saying sometimes are stuff like they think, you know, on their own, or they only say among their friends, and then we do it on stage and they go, oh, I didn't know you could say this. I'm like, of course you can.
No, we tell each other terrible jokes anyway.
Yes. Mama,
But when we go on a particular platform, suddenly it becomes formalized. Yeah. We don't want, and that's where the self-censorship comes.
Right.
But essentially, you know, 9 out of 10 jokes, things that we think about it ourselves. Yeah. All right, I have a clip right now. We'll play this and then we'll go for a short break. When we come back, we'll talk more with the comics from 1MCB.
Have you seen that? That Jono fucking, he actually looks like a Char Siew Pao, you know? Like a physical, like a... douchebag Pao. You know why I don't like him? Like, he reminds me of who, you know? He reminds me of, remember when we're all in school, okay? And for Hari Sukan, right? Okay, everyone will go and sign up. The teacher will try to place you to what sports? One for the run la, one for the jump la, one for the football, basketball, all that. Joe Lo is who tried out for every sport. And at the end, the teacher said, you just hold the flag la.
Was a clip that was from the 1MCB show, and joining me, the gentleman, and of course, some people are not being not able to make it. Sulaiman Azmil, Karen Bala Devan, and Gajanad. I keep on, you know, messing
that's
up.
That's fine.
I'm so sorry.
Everyone, there's a running joke where, like, if there's anybody new who's putting my name on a poster or something, they will always get it wrong.
Yeah, absolutely.
They will always do
this. And this is probably the third or fourth time me introducing you. I'm still messing it up. But that's the point, right?
Okay.
I mean, we want to make sure that everybody is inclusive. We want to make sure that everybody's going there with just have some fun. At the end of the day, do you feel that you have a social obligation to entertain at the end of the day? Because here I am, having this, you know, formal show, we're trying to impart information, but that's my job. Is it your job? Do you take it upon yourself? Do you take yourselves too seriously in the sense that, you know, if you guys are not out there to entertain, then Malaysians would be a little bit worse off than before?
Oh, that's, I think this
moment. That's probably true.
Yeah.
Well, that's a saying. Comedy is no joke. And if you talk to comics, off stage, and that's the only time you get to talk to them anyway, and you get into our passion, into the craft and all that, we can get into pretty serious discussions. Because, take with the point you said about a social obligation to entertain.
Yeah.
Maybe not so much a social obligation to entertain, but to us, the stage is sacred. Once you get on that stage, you do have that responsibility to give it your best and to that night, or I mean, if it's a recorded show and all that, to make the audience either at home or live laugh their dude off.
Yeah, yeah. Do you think that, you know, late night has a promising prospect here. We tried a bit, right? On this channel of all places, right?
Yeah.
But that didn't seem to work out at the end of the day. But do you think that, you know, we will have a late night show with whatever, Sulaiman or Gajan or whatever?
Right? Oh, fingers crossed. Yeah. Finger crossed, I hope so. I definitely think, like, this whole notion of, you know, whether we're ready or not for something.
Yeah.
I don't particularly subscribe to that. For me, it's more of, if you can do something well, just go and do Anila. Just go and do it. You know, the whole readiness thing for me, I don't like to think of it in terms of whether something's ready or not. It's more of, if you give the people something good, the people will respond to it.
Yeah,
that's what I think. So, if you can do a really good late night show, why not? If you can do something where you can entertain people and tell people, like, you know what, this is what happened today, and condense it in a way where people aren't going to go and sit down in a cold shower because of all the bad news, where they can, you know, process it properly, digest it properly, I think it'll definitely work.
The news that comes out from the States and even the UK, it's really pretty depressing stuff.
It's bad,
right? Anywhere from Trump to Brexit, right? But, you know, the people that are pretty okay because of the comic relief that we see. I guess Malaysia is not that dire, particularly after the elections. Do you think that, you know, there's nothing, no better time than now to actually up the ante in terms of getting all the comic shows out there, getting people riled up in terms of, you know, let's get more, you know, of this humorous stuff out? Because at the end of the day, if we don't laugh at ourselves, then who, you know, we're just taking ourselves too seriously, and that's not going to be a good idea, right?
That's exactly right. Yeah. We should do it now. Like, it's a great time to do it, because we came out of, you know, the whole elections thing where people, like, didn't know what was going to happen, and finally something for like 60 years and then it changed. I think everyone just wants something new. And again, either in comedy or in government or anything else, you're going to do something, do it right.
Yeah.
You know, so it's a good time to do it.
Mm. But to do it right, I guess you need a lot of practice.
Yes.
You need a lot of, you know, anywhere from rehearsals, just doing it again and again and again and again until you fix it right. I was once watching this documentary of Kevin Hart. It's actually the same kind of jokes that he was telling for years, and then he find it, and then finally, you know, the Madison Square Garden show took off. Those kind of refinement of jokes, it might seem like it's the same thing, but, you know, he changes it a bit, not to make it a little bit stale, but that's the idea. You just have to practice. Do you guys... So how long would you need to, like, to get it up there? Like, how many years do you think
There's no definite time.
Yeah,
because a joke, once you think it has been fully polished, then later on someone says, you know, you can add this tag at the end. Right. Hey, you know what, if you do a twist here. So that's the thing about comedy. It's like an infinite thing. Yeah. It's never ending. Yeah.
And sometimes there are things that... A joke that you did many years ago and you didn't really develop it because you didn't think it was going to work. And then something happens to you now. Mm. And then it triggers... let's bring back that thing because of this new thing that you found, some new tag or some new connection, something that's happened around you or in the current news. And that's why the whole idea of people talk about retiring jokes.
Yeah.
But there's, I don't know, I think the joke should just be there. You know, you can go back.
And continue to refine it. Yeah. So, okay, so people, if they want to watch your show, let's just pull up that particular graphic again. But if people want to watch your show, how do they go about it? 1MCB?
Okay, so the next show that we're doing as a group, as 1MCB, will be at the Crack House Comedy Club on the 4th of April as part of the Crack House Carnival.
Okay.
So a couple of clips just now, Gajan and myself, and that backdrop at the back, so that was us performing many years ago at the Crack House. And I have to say this, I think we should say this, one good thing now, which we didn't have many years ago, is the fact that there are now dedicated comedy clubs. Crack House Comedy Club in Taman Tun at Ismail and the Joke Factory at Publica. So these are venues that have helped give even more opportunities, not just for us, but for anyone who's interested in trying out stand-up comedy. And in both these venues, we have weekly open mic shows, which are literally open to anyone who wants to come. People just come in on the day, sign up. If the roster is still, if it's not filled up, then they will get an opportunity to perform.
Okay, great, guys.
And they always prioritize, like, newcomers to come perform. So literally anybody, like, even you, Ibrahim, like, you can come. Like, if you want, you could come there on a night and just...
You know, let me tell you something.
Okay.
All right? And we're going to extend this a bit, right? But nothing fears more. Public speaking is okay for me. Telling a joke, however, is really scary for me. And I you know, this is like on-air confessions with Ibrahim Sani. Ah. But honestly, right, grilling people, talking to people about the harder things in life is okay for me to do, but telling a joke is really, really scary for me to do. And that's something that I don't know whether, you know, I would have the courage.
Really? You wouldn't think like what you do here would translate well on stage, like the way you grill people and the stuff that you do. The only difference is just go up there and just be funny.
Okay. But that goes with everyone, right? That goes with everyone. All right. That was my conversation with Sulaiman Azmil, Karen Baladevan. See, I got your name right.
Yes.
And Gajanad. Thanks very much for watching. Remember to catch their show at... There's a URL going on as well, no?
You can check us on Instagram.
Facebook.
On Facebook. The tickets for the show on the 4th of April are probably already on sale.
Yep.
You can check it out at www.1mcbcomedy.com.
There you go.
Yep.
So that was my conversation with them. Hopefully, you guys can have a very entertaining week or weekend if you're watching this over the weekend. And just head on to watch their shows. That's it from me for this week. Thanks very much and goodbye. Okay, guys, that was good.
Thank you so much. There's just some people left to thank without which this show would not have been possible. First of all, I'd like to thank Sam Tan, the group managing director of Ken Holdings. Sam is speaking to Metro and all this. I'd like to thank also his team for the platform. Please give them a huge round of applause. Of sound and lighting. Goodbye, of sound and lighting.